my friend Jim Kress, who's also part of our Therapy and Theology podcast, Jim's statement is it's something can be simple, but far from being simplistic. Mm. And this is that thing. It's like, it's so simple. Like, don't miss Jesus, but it's far from being simplistic because it's like, don't miss Jesus on his own terms. Not the Jesus that we're trying to create in our own image. Yeah. And the invitation to humility is really an invitation to the life of Christ.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. We have one more day with Joel Mutamali. He is really good.
I can see why Lisa Turkhurst has him on her staff.
Me too.
Yeah, he's a deep theologian. We're talking about humility as being this sort of secret ingredient to experiencing peace in the middle of anxiety. So you don't want to miss this one, and we're going to jump right in. Let's go.
I feel like God just continues to reveal this pridefulness mm-hmm. in me, like, especially he's showing me now, but I had been doing it for years, thinking I'm so much better at relationship stuff with us than Dave. He's so out of touch with feelings and emotions, pure pride. And when I put that mirror up, and that's the beauty of God's word.
Yeah.
Man, it exposes.
Well, I mean, the pride is, and it's in all of us, when a good buddy or your wife critiques you or gives you, you know, knowledge about a blind spot. Yeah. It's a blind spot because you're blind. You can't see it and everybody else can. And when you respond like, I don't want to hear that, or you're wrong, that is nothing but pride. Now, there are sometimes people are wrong and they say things that they miss. But if we're not open to, I need your critique. Yeah. I need your feedback. I grow if I get it. That's a symptom of pride, because humility says, I need it. I want it.
Yeah.
Please give it to me. I mean, we had I helped start a church 35 years ago. And from day one, my co-founders and I said, every sermon I give, I want feedback the second I walk off the stage. Mm. I'm going to preach this three more times today. Mm. Make it better. Man, what did
such,
I miss?
Such
what
a
did
college
I hear?
Quarterback. That's such a college quarterback.
What do you mean?
Yeah. I was really like, don't tell me anything. I'm horrible.
I need 24 hours. I need 24 hours because you will devastate my heart. I love that. That's
me too.
That's so like college. Like,
I mean,
no,
we got a second quarter here. I just did the first. Let's win the second quarter if I blew the first
love
one.
It. I
this
love
is
it.
So Dave. Like, I love that about you.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had a men's group like your group.
Yeah.
I should call it the Detroit Boys, but we did a thing one year where we decided this will be the year of blind spots. Mm. So we said, listen, you know, if it's your night, the other guys are going to put you in the kitchen for 20 minutes. They're going to decide what to share with you and then bring you back in the room and we're going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was hard because I remember when
they
put me out.
And there was a lot of prayer behind it.
Oh, yeah. And it was very, we said it in a gentle way.
And you knew each other for a long time.
But we loved each other. Yeah. And, you know, they never started with, okay, dude, here it is. They started with, here's what you're great at. Here's why we love you.
Yeah.
But here's a couple blind spots. And, you know, you're sitting looking at four or five guys and you can't go, what are you talking about? They all see it together.
Right.
You know, if you don't see it, that's on you because they're agreeing that you miss it. And by the way, everything they said, my wife had been saying for 10 years.
Wait a minute, why isn't this the first time I'm hearing this?
Well, answer this though. One of the themes I've noticed in the last decade in at least American Christianity, because it's in a lot of our worship songs now, is identity, our identity in Christ, which is a beautiful thing to understand. I had one of my preachers say, you know, when you walk in a room, understanding who you are and who you are in Christ, his language was, you own that room. Mm. And it sounds like you're being confident. This is, I know who I'm in Christ, so I'm not walking in there trying to impress anybody.
Yeah.
I don't need to impress anybody. The God of the universe is impressed with me. So I walk in with a confidence that's secure.
It's humble.
Rather than try and wow you. So talk about how understanding my identity in Christ is also humility.
Yeah, so one of Paul's favorite phrases is in Christ. The Greek phrase is in Christos. And that phrase has to do with living in the sphere of the power and the authority of King Jesus. So you think about John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, then it goes on. The idea that there's like a singular reason right now that the sun doesn't just burn up the entire earth. There's a singular reason why the moon doesn't collapse onto the earth. Why our feet, singular reason, why our feet stay on the ground and not float. And that singular reason is Christ Jesus. Mm. He's holding all things together. So to say that we are in Christ, our identity is in Christ, is fundamentally a statement of humility. Mm. It's fundamentally a statement of who is Christ. But Christ is the one who's holding all things together. Mm. And then I would want to like contrast that with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul talks about the ministry of reconciliation. And he says that you and I are ambassadors of Christ. And in the Greco-Roman world, that word ambassador, it was a very specific, significant word. Mm. It was a word to represent a dignitary that was a representative of the royal king. So where you went, the authority and the power and the presence of that king went. It's kind of this fascinating detail. I'm a U.S. citizen, like born in the United States. I was in India just a couple of weeks ago. We went to the American consulate. The second I'm in India, but I walked into the American consulate, guess where I was?
United States.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm in India.
Yeah.
So there's this sense as ambassadors of Christ, where we go, the kingdom of God goes.
Gosh, that's such a good reminder.
Where we go, the power and the presence and the authority of Jesus goes. Very important distinction between our identity being in Christ and we are Christ.
Mm.
And this is where pride comes in.
Yeah.
Pride comes in to actually cut out Christ and uses Christ as a means for us to exercise the power and authority as if it's innate of ourselves and not from a posture of humility that says, no, we received this thing. Like we are given this by King Jesus for a purpose. And the purpose is the exaltation of Jesus and the expansion of His kingdom. Mm. And so all the places that we walk into, we're on assignment, we're on a mission. It's the worst for me on airplanes because I am not a talker. Like I talk a lot for work. So when I get on an airplane, I just want to sit, put my headphones on. I don't want to talk to nobody, you know?
Yep.
You know, and sometimes every now and then I'm next to a talker. And it doesn't matter what I'm reading. Like this is a funny one. I'm reading a theology book. The guy next to me goes, "Hey man, what are you reading?" And I said, "Well, it's called Jesus the Sage. It's about Second Temple literature and Jesus wisdom." And the guy looks at me and he goes, he cusses and says, "That's cool."
Really?
No joke. And we spent the next 2 hours back to Charlotte talking about Jesus. And talking about his experience in the faith and talking about his ayahuasca DMT drug trips that he does. And like, it got very like, and I got the opportunity to kind of just share the gospel with him.
And
I ended with like, "Hey, you know that ayahuasca DMT stuff that you do?" It's like, I was like, "Why do you do it?" He goes, "Well, I just want to like meet the spirits. I want to be connected to the spiritual." And I go, "Man, there's this really amazing thing about Christianity. When we give our lives to Jesus, we get the indwelling Holy Spirit. And you don't need to go on.
He lives in you.
He lives in you."
Yeah.
He's like, "What?
Talk about a trip."
Yeah. Well, there's much more cussing that happened throughout that entire thing. And I can only imagine what other people were thinking. You know, you had like this Indian theologian guy talking to like, you know. But I'm like, so those are like, man, where you go, the kingdom of God goes. Are you open to how God wants to use you, even if it's uncomfortable and you don't, you know? And I didn't want to have that conversation, frankly.
I mean, talk about humility. How humble is it to realize God put you beside that guy?
Joel, I would want to sit beside you on a plane. I would talk. I would ask you a million questions. What a fortunate guy. Like, that was God ordained because he's in you and he wanted to talk to this guy beside you. And you allowed him to.
Hey, real quick, let me take a moment to remind you, our listener, that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It's a promise from God. And we've seen it time and time again this year at Family Life. When families face challenges, when marriages are tested and hope feels hard, God's promise remains true. Family Life exists to bring the hope of Jesus to families everywhere. But we need your partnership and support to do it. As the year comes to a close, you have the opportunity to help us give that hope to families everywhere. To learn more and to give, visit familylifetoday.com or call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY. That's F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. We'd be honored to have you in our corner. Okay, let's get back to our conversation. I mean, let me ask you this. How does humility, what does it look like in your marriage?
Oh, man. I think in my marriage, I have a funny story in the book. It's called The Time Kelly Clarkson Uninvited Me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You read that one?
Yes.
Tell her. Yeah.
So my wife is super funny. She's hilarious. She's like a social media celebrity. Her handle is Almost Indian Wife. She's white. I'm Indian, hence the tagline.
I have to look her up right
she's,
now.
Yeah, she's so funny. And one of her videos went viral, like crazy viral. It was right as COVID was ending. And it's a video of my little daughter, Emmy. She must have been like two at the time, running to say hi to her brothers who are just getting off of the bus. And it's this cute moment where Em just runs. She's like doing the penguin waddle, like running as fast as she can. And she's yelling Bubba's, which is what she calls her older brothers. And the boys see her and they just lose it. Cause this is the first time in five years that they had, she must have been three. So this is the first time in like 3 years that they have been like separated, you know? And they're seeing each other and it's just like this magnet to each other. The kids are throwing off their backpacks. They still have their masks on. They're throwing off their mat, like all this stuff. And they just embrace. Sweet. And it's like, she's yelling, Bubba's. And they're yelling, Emmy, I see you. And y'all, Britt went to bed that night, posted that video, went to bed that night. It wasn't even like the content that she typically posts, but it was like, this is just too wholesome. Like we just need to post it. Went to bed, woke up the next day and her phone broke. Like, wouldn't turn on. Really? I look at my phone is blowing up. It's like, Joel, Beyonce's mom, Joel, Kenan and Kel, Joel, Good Morning America. I'm like, why are they naming all these celebrities? You know, Janet Jackson. I'm like, what? And I look and the video had like overnight 7 million views.
Come on. I'm looking it up. She's got a lot of followers.
Well, yeah.
I bet she got a lot from that.
Yeah. And now she's been doing this now for the last, 6 years or whatever. And so it's been, that's the video. That's it right there.
We should put this. We'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Yeah. And it's just, but I think what people saw in it was they saw themselves. I think they saw this is what like love should look like.
Mm. This makes me cry. I'm watching it. It's the sweetest thing ever.
It is so sweet. And people like, they just saw it. Like, then they're like, oh, and the cool thing is in the comments section, it's like people are like, I haven't talked to my brother in years.
Wow.
This makes me want to reach out to him. Or I have no relationship with my sister. And like, this makes me want to, like, I remember this moment as a kid. Wow. They thank him. So anyways, Kelly Clarkson, which if you're listening, Kelly, I'm still a huge fan. She was like, hey, we'd love to have your family on for an interview. It was like a Zoom interview or whatever. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so I'm sitting and I'm like, I do this for a living, you guys. Like I do podcasts and I'm like, this is my time to shine. I'm talking about pride. Like I'm going to crush it.
Here we go, baby.
Right? And I'm giving advice to my wife and my kids. Like, guys, the producers can come on. They're going to ask this, you know. Like I'm doing all the things. And I sit down and the producer's up and we've got the set up. And the producer goes, okay, Brittany, we know who you are. Kids, we know who you are. Emmy, everybody knows who you are. Sir, who are you? I said, my name's Joel. I'm dad.
I'm somebody.
You know? And they're like looking through their notes, like frantically flipping.
Come on.
Because it's a family of six on a couch. And the guy goes, you know what? Did you take the video? I said, no, I was at work. Were you in the video? No, I was at work. Well, there's a lot of you guys and we just think it might be good for it to just be the people who are in the video. So instantly I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely. Like I'm totally good. Like, and I'm like, I set them up and I get them ready and I can tell, like, and then we're about to go live in like 5 minutes. And then the guy goes, hey, can you please make sure you hide behind the wall? Make sure we don't see you. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'm, you know, and here I am. Like, there's this place, this wall in our house and I'm hiding behind the wall and I'm thinking, how did this happen to me? You know?
Yeah.
And that's just like a humility moment. Just like,
that's the
best
story.
Yeah.
It's and like, so life.
And I had to like process it, you know, like, how did I feel? How did that make me feel? What insecurities came up inside of me? What are the performance things about me that the Lord was exposing in my heart, you know? And then the tension of like, man, I'm so proud of my wife. Mm. Like, I'm so happy that the kids get to like experience this. Like, so you have this tension of like, Lord, I love this, but I'm also like, why can't I be in it? And more than that, why can't I be the star of it?
That's exactly what our kids go through too. Of even then, I think the enemy can whisper like, it's because you're nobody.
Right.
And that can happen to our kids because you're not important, you know, just those lies of the enemy. And it's keeping that balance. It's just what you're talking about.
I think, and honestly, it gets more destructive. It goes, it's because your wife doesn't value you.
Mm. Yes.
Your kids don't need you anymore.
So many things.
Right? And it just, and it can spiral.
Yes. How did you not spiral or go the other way? Like, I am so much, I am who, I made this family.
Yeah, I mean, I did do that. I did do that initially. And I had, honestly, frankly, I've got some good friends. One of her, the gal's name is Lisa Turkhurst, who's a great big sister that helps kind of navigate some of these things. And we've got a group of us that we all study the Bible together and like we do real life. So like we literally just like this, it's like me, Lisa, Meredith, Shay, Leah, like we're all like this group of us at Proverbs that we study and we work on each other's projects. And
do you share that whole story?
100% I shared it.
And what'd they say?
And they just were like, they were so honest. They're like, man, like laughed hysterically yeah. like you guys did. And then secondarily, it's like, ask some prodding questions. And then Lisa was like, have you talked to Britt about it? And I was like, ooh. Why? Why do I need, this is a me issue. She's like, oh no, this isn't a me issue, you know? Mm. And it opened a conversation, a dialogue for me to be able to just share what my, which is not easy for me. I'm not an emotions guy. It's like, oh, just share what it made you feel and why it made you feel that way.
Yeah. And
you know? I think that easily happens in marriage where, especially if you're a young mom and maybe you were super successful in your career and now you're spending more time at home, you can be thinking like, I don't do anything, you know, but you're raising these kids that are warriors for the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, you're discipling them, but it's easy to be jealous.
You went through that.
I did. Like, who am I apart from what I do? The identity does. Piece.
The identity thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think as guys, we go through it in some, I mean, million different ways, but one of the ways I went through it is at the workplace, they think I'm pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I come home, you don't think I'm that amazing. I want to go, you know, I'm good at this.
Right.
And they acknowledge that, and here I'm just a guy, and it's like, you know what? That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to lay down my life.
Ephesians 5.
To love and lead and serve her and these kids. And it's not about me and my title. It's literally about, it's not about me at all.
Yeah.
But I want to be God's man for this family, but it's, you gotta put it down.
Well, speak about humility. Ephesians 5 is so fascinating that, you know, the most like provocative verse in that is wives submit to your husbands. But in the ancient world, what people would have lost their minds on is how many verses that Paul spends on talking about the guys.
Right. Yes.
Right. You would never do that in the Greco-Roman world. I mean, there's so many dudes that are in that church.
Wait, that wouldn't have happened.
No. In the Greco-Roman world, there's no way that that anybody would have spent in a patriarchal society that they would have spent that much real estate in an ancient letter, which costs a lot of money to put together, to call men out on the carpet for how they treat their wives and how they lay down their life and how they should wash their wives in the word and how they should be self-sacrificial, like the way that Jesus was. Like, there's a series of sentences that are dedicated to the men's responsibility, and there's this one sentence that's about the woman's submission. And so again, the context helps us to go, like, every dude that's in the city, the church in Ephesus, which is probably a circular letter, so it's going to other places as well, their jaws are dropping.
Mm.
It was bad because they're like, we're getting called out significantly here.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very, very revolutionary, which makes sense why, you know, the church exploded the way that it did in the first century.
Yeah.
Humility. Yeah. Humility is the answer too.
Yeah, to be able to receive that humbly. I mean, I've got such a pride problem. I mean, we all do. You know, you have to kill it.
Yeah.
You literally have to like stab it when it raises. Years ago, my co-founder and I were speaking at a pastor's conference, probably 500 pastors there. Hey, we want to learn from you. Your church has grown, blah, blah, blah. And somehow something came up about pride. And I say this quote from the stage. I go, hey, I don't know who said this, but I heard somebody say, in every church, every situation, you want to crown a king. You always want to crown a king. We're talking about King Saul, and you just want to crown a king. Mm. And I go, what we decided to do at our church is not let them crown you king. Don't let them do it. They're going to try. Don't let them do it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, wow, that was a great statement. The next day, I see on Twitter, and we're going back to do a second day, one of the guys there said, my co-founder said, he said, hey, Steve said yesterday this. It was my quote.
Uh-huh.
And I saw in my soul, like, he didn't say that. I said that.
That's my quote.
And wait,
this is plagiarism.
The quote is, everyone wants to crown a king. And here I am saying, I want that to be acknowledged to me. I'm like, look at the pride in me.
Man,
it's like,
human.
Just go. It was said. It's a good quote. Who cares who said it? But I saw, look what's inside me.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know, I didn't go back and say, hey, guys, by the way, that was me. That wasn't him.
I'll reply to it and be like, oh, man, I'm sure the guy who he heard that from loved
and
it.
And I want my wife to crown me a king. You know, it's like you want your kids to crown you king. And we're literally called to lay it down.
Yeah.
And that's the hidden piece.
Joel,
this has been good
we
stuff.
We could talk to you forever. Like, you have so many great stories in your book as well that talk about humility and examples of it. Like, you talk about your grandfather, this story. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this story was crazy. But you're going to have to get the book as a listener. You're going to want to get this. Is there anything else that you're like, man, this is so on my heart to reveal this about this topic?
I would just say the last couple places that I've been teaching and speaking at, I just felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to say it. And I want to say to you guys as well is it all comes down to a very simple idea, which is just don't miss Jesus. Mm. My friend, Jim Kress, who's also part of our Therapy and Theology podcast, Jim's statement is it's something can be simple, but far from being simplistic. Mm. And this is that thing. It's like, it's so simple. Like, don't miss Jesus, but it's far from being simplistic because it's like, don't miss Jesus on his own terms. Not the Jesus that we're trying to create in our own image.
Yeah.
And the invitation to humility is really an invitation to the life of Christ. And Philippians 2 puts that on powerful display.
Yeah.
The humble high king of heaven who comes and he really gives of his life, like what we just talked about, for the reconciliation, the restoration of humanity. And it's like, man, don't miss Jesus, because if we see Jesus, it will change everything for our lives.
Can we be humble apart from him? I can't.
I don't think so.
I can't.
Yeah. I think that any type of humility apart from Christ is still self motivated.
So what's an action step for our listeners? What do you think?
Here's the thing that you can do that I think is so fascinating. When you feel like the world is falling apart, when you feel like anxiety has hit you, stress has, you know, here's what I want y'all to do. If weather allows, I want you to go outside. Even if it's raining, if there's no thunderstorm, no lightning or whatever, still go outside and take your socks off and find a patch of grass and put your feet in the grass. And I want you to look up into the skies. And if it's the day, pay attention to the clouds and where the sun is. If it's nighttime, look at the stars, where the moon is, and remind yourself of this simple truth. You don't have to do anything to hold it all together.
Mm. He does.
Yeah. Don't miss Jesus.
It's really good.
Hey, and by the way, you can get Joel's book, The Hidden Peace, familylifetoday.com. Click on the link in the show notes. And we'll also put in the show notes that video. Mm-hmm. Which I haven't even seen.
It's so good.
Thanks, man.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Hey, and real quick, I just want to remind you, our listener, that this is a special time of year to give to Family Life. If you want to give, just visit familylifetoday.com or give us a call at 1-800-FL-TODAY. That's F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today.
Hey, guys, we just wanted to take a quick minute to jump in and say whatever you're going through today, I think this is important to remember, you aren't alone. And did you know that Dave and I have a team at Family Life Today ready to pray for you? And it's this incredible honor and a privilege to lift your name up to God. So if you need prayer, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. I really mean that. Head on over to familylife.com/prayforme. Again, that's familylife.com/prayforme. And tell us how we can pray. And again, we are not kidding. Dave and I have a prayer team specifically dedicated to praying for our listeners. And I pray for some of these while I'm on my walks with God. I just pray. I will pray for you. And Dave, you always fast on Fridays, and that's when you pray.
Yeah, I take the whole day, and instead of eating food, I'm praying. I'm praying for my family, but I'm also praying for you. And your family. And isn't that a great thing to know that someone's praying for you?
Yes.
And if it's not Ann and I praying for you, someone from our small prayer team will pray for you by name. We love to do it. So go to familylife.com/prayforme and submit your requests. And I mean, do it right now. We would love to pray for you today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.